Good morning and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Today we celebrate the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You can find our worship aid online on the cathedral's website, which is www.stpatrickscathedralallspelledout.org/live. And all of the hymns will also be found in the hymnals in the pews in front of you. Our celebrant this morning is Father Enrique Salvo, rector of the cathedral. Please now rise and sing our entrance hymn, which can be found in the blue St. Michael's hymnal. Hymn number 823, We Walk by Faith.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Welcome everyone to St. Patrick's Cathedral and everyone in so many places around the world united in this Holy Mass. Let us begin on this Sunday as we celebrate these sacred mysteries to recall our sins and to ask our Lord to grant us his peace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit, we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in the secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on the earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, and inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants from the master who the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Then Peter said, Lord, is this a parable meant for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowances at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. The Gospel of the Lord. We continue the Jubilee year of hope. And by the way, remember that St. Patrick's Cathedral is one of the places that we can get an indulgence, which comes from making a pilgrimage, which you're already here. So that's the first part. Then to come to Mass, you're at Mass, to go to confession within 8 days, to pray in Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be for the intentions of the Holy Father, in front of the crucifix of Good Friday, which is on that altar of the Divine Mercy. Just let's remember that. Or go wherever we can in around the whole world. There are churches that are sites for the Jubilee. And as we saw, or if you haven't, it'd be worth looking at, there was such a successful and beautiful, powerful event in Rome for the Jubilee year with the youth. A million youth came from all over the world. And like many of the headlines were, they called it the Catholic Woodstock. And where there was confessions and masses and concerts and testimonies. And from many young people, including many from war-torn countries and through different predicaments that are difficult but with hope. And of course, Pope Leo XIV guiding them and telling the young that they must all be heralds of hope in the world that needs it so much. And it's something that, of course, we rejoice because it reminds us to have hope not only in our church, but in the future of our church. We are, especially in the hope that we're seeing such a comeback from young people, young adults, and so on, in finding their faith again. And that, of course, makes us rejoice. And throughout this year, then, we should meditate on the theme of hope. There's always a reason that the Holy Spirit guided Pope Francis when he was going to choose the topic for this year's Jubilee, which happens every 25 years, to be hope, because the world needs so much hope. And we see in today's reading reminders of how we to apply hope in our lives. In the letter to the Hebrews, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. We have faith that the things that we hope for are going to happen according to God's will. And then he, of course, goes on in the letter of the Hebrews to describe as examples what the patriarchs, like Abraham, went through. The only thing they could have done what they did was because they had faith and hope throughout the way, in that what God was telling them to do, even if it did not make sense, was going to be what God intended all along. And then we see in this gospel how Jesus, first of all, once again, he tells us, do not be afraid, little flock. 365 times we hear the word, do not be afraid, in the scriptures, one for every day of the year. And he is, and then he reminds us that what we must really hope for is for the kingdom of heaven. And he reminds us to therefore be prepared in such a way that we are already living our lives here on earth, as also the letter to the Hebrews describes, as sojourners on the way to heaven. And therefore, we put our hope in that. So hope, in a very simple way, is just basically trusting that all things good will end up happening, that love will have the last word, that healing will happen, that forgiveness will happen, that mercy will happen, that God's love in the end will always conquer. And of course, the ultimate and the greatest hope we must have is heaven, as Jesus reminds us in today's gospel. So death, of course, is one of the greatest tragedies that we go through in our lives, especially the death of our loved ones, the senseless deaths that we see, like what happened here in Midtown not too long ago. When we see the deaths and all the wars and all the tragedy, it's a suffering, and it's real and it's human. Even Jesus Christ cried when he was at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who had died. But we never must lose the ultimate hope, which is that God has opened up the gates of heaven, where we're intended to live all along for the rest of eternity once we finish our time here on earth. And heaven is really a place that we should look forward to, not living out our lives as God intends, but we should in an almost daydream about heaven. It's the one place that we can actually idolize, because we can see an ideal. We do that all the time with places we've never been to, and yeah, they're beautiful and everything, but it's, you know, then normal things happen. But heaven, it's something we cannot even fathom what heaven is, and that should make us be filled with joy and with hope, and in a very important way, it should console us for our loved ones that have lived good lives the best they could and have died. We miss them, but heaven, we hope that they are already rejoicing in heaven, and we hope that one day we will be in heaven for all of eternity. That is the ultimate hope, and when we have our eyes on that as our final goal, which it is the only thing that will end up really happening to all of us, is that one day we are going to die and then we want to go to heaven. We start living our lives, as Jesus is telling us, according to that, where we put our hearts in treasures of heaven, where no thief can steal or moth destroy. And then that changes our whole outlook when heaven is the ultimate reality. But also, of course, let's remember that we're still living on earth, and we also want to live good lives here on earth. And as citizens of heaven, we should see ourselves, as the letter to the Hebrews says, in a way as sojourners with the ultimate goal of heaven. But we're here, and we have to make the best of it. And we have to remember that we don't have to wait for us to be in heaven. That's when we're going to see God face to face. But it's not like it will come to that day for us to have a love relationship with God. That happens now. And it happens all the more when we are filled with hope and trust and faith that he is with us, because we allow him in a much stronger way. So, of course, there's hope of the good things happening, and it's good for us to hope for an operation to go well and for someone to be healed. It's good for us to hope that someone that's looking for a job gets the job they're looking for. It's good for us to hope that our children are safe and they're doing well in their lives. It's good for us to hope that a relationship that was broken be healed and forgiveness comes. Those are all good things, and they're part of hope, and we pray for those things, and we pray for them daily, as a matter of fact. When people ask us, can you pray for this, we're basically praying that what I'm hoping for to happen happens according to God's will. But there's more to it, because we're not preaching the prosperity gospel here. We, the Catholic Church, would never do that, considering that we are always have been in the midst of all the darkest places in the world, seeing the greatest of tragedies. And we also know for a fact that there are people that are so filled with God's love and the gifts of the Holy Spirit who have chronic diseases and chronic poverty and things that just can't be fixed anymore, like the death of a loved one. And so we can't be telling at that level, be hope, for, especially when the harm already happened and in this lifetime it won't get fixed. In heaven it will, going back to heaven. That's another story. But in this lifetime, there are tragedies, there are situations in which the hope, I mean, for God all things are possible, but the hope of the externals might very well be gone. But that does not mean that we lose hope, because there's something that happens that we sometimes forget to pray about, which is that no matter what is happening in our external life, especially when it comes to the tragedies and crosses that God allows us to carry, we always need to have hope that with God all things are possible, and therefore He can heal us interiorly, in being able to live the whatever we live through in ways that only come from God, with fortitude, with the peace that surpasses all understanding, with seeing the big picture, with a huge faith in heaven when it comes to the suffering of a death of a loved one, we seeing God's wisdom and the plans that didn't work out in the way that we wanted, but why it didn't work out, to see God's wisdom, and to have an interior healing in which we allow God to come and bring light into the picture. And that, even though everything might stay the same out exteriorly, everything changes in the interior. And it's beautiful when we see people getting their a great, something beautiful happening to them. We should rejoice always. Like, for example, that's why I think shows like the other day I was watching like Ultimate Home Makeover, and it was this family that the dad had died from COVID and they were living in the very poor conditions, and then they built them a brand new house, and you see their reactions and you're so happy for them. It's like so moving to see how they, something that they weren't even hoping for, God used good people to bring them a solution. But many times that doesn't even happen. And so we, for the same reason then, we have to see how that plays out in all of our lives and in the lives of so many people in our history. So we go back to the letter to the Hebrews. And in the letter to the Hebrews, we are explained how the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah were all living through hope. We know that something good happened to them that they couldn't have hope for anymore, which was the fact that after being barren, Sarah was going to give birth to Isaac and begin the world, the Israelites that God promised from heaven. As a matter of fact, when Sarah got the news that when the three men that were angels disguised as three travelers were outside of the house as she was baking, and she overheard their conversation, and she when they were telling Abraham that Sarah was going to have a baby, she had a laugh attack. She started to laugh. It's there in the scriptures. She laughed of joy, but she laughed of ridiculousness. She laughed of, what is this? What am I hearing? To the point that the name Isaac means he who laughs, because that was the initial reaction of that something they had given up hope already happened. So there's that. But then they had to leave their lands. They had to go and basically live in tents for the rest of their lives, being confused about everything that's happening, going through all types of ordeals, and a lot of the things were lost along the way, yet the hope always happened. Now, bringing that to examples of our church now, of other famous examples, we can apply that in our lives. So, for example, speaking of young people giving testimonies of hope, in the last 2,000 years, we have seen so many of our saints go through it. And we that, of course, we see that in every single day life. But at the same time, it's something that is good to see the ones that have been studied by the church. So, for example, let's take St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, who has given us so many treasures of spirituality in our church, like the discernments of spirits and the spiritual exercises he teaches us. When he was a young man, young Ignatius, he had zero hope to become what he was going to become, as becoming this great priest that was going to teach the church and found this order. His hope was to be a knight that was going to be successful and was going to marry a princess. And that was his hope, and that was his goal, and he was good at it. And that's what he envisioned his life as being. But then he's in battle one day, and his leg gets shot, and he's basically out of commission now. It's basically, we can kind of compare it to like an up-and-coming athlete being injured and can no longer do what they were hoping to do. And he has to go and spend a year in this castle that belonged to his aunt, stuck in this room and reading books. That's all he could do. And he read a few books, that the ones he liked, had to do about the adventures of knights and so on. But then his aunt brought him books of the lives of the saints. And at first he wasn't like too into it, but then he had nothing else to do anyways. But then he realized, and he writes this, that when he would read the saints, his heart was filled with peace. Something good was happening. When he was reading things more worldly, his stress and anxieties came back. And therefore he realized that God was working in him, healing him in ways that he could not have imagined. And therefore, because of that, with hope, now seeing that despite all of his personal dreams being shot, now he had a hope that God gave him, that he was going to come and help transform the church for centuries to come and to be this great disciple of God. God healed him in the interior. He could have chosen the path of just living the rest of his life in bitterness that his personal dream came true, but he let God heal him interiorly and to follow his will according to that. Another example, again, since we've seen the youth, is St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Something that happened to her when she was young Thérèse. Remember, you know, St. Thérèse, the great sister that in her humility has taught us all about trusting God as children trust her parents. And even on paper, her life was not that extraordinary. She's her teachings and her faith and she's one of our most beloved saints. St. Thérèse, even though in her Diary of a Soul, she lists and focuses a lot on all the beautiful things that happened in her childhood and how close she was with her family, and she describes all that. Her childhood was really not idyllic. It really was not, because her mom died when she was only 4 years old. And no matter how much the sisters, her older sisters, took care of her, no matter how good and they're canonized saints, his dad was, her mom died. And that's going to be difficult, and of course it's going to be pain and things that now we understand better. So what happened to St. Thérèse as a child, from that time until she was like 13 or 14, is that she became, the way the pain became manifested, is that she became extra ultra sensitive, hypersensitive. And so it was difficult for her and for a lot of people around her, because it didn't take much for her to start crying and for her to for drama to enter. But it was just her wounds like crying out, and she was always trying to do her best and she was always holy, but it was hard for her. She didn't have many friends in school because of the same reason. So she had a tough childhood in the end, and it was not going away. It seemed that it, you know, that was just going to be her. But had it not gone away, she would not have become St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She would have just lived the rest of her years in the same life that she was living. But one day, and she calls this her Christmas miracle, she was already like 13 or 14. They go to midnight mass, they come back, and of course, every year, Papa Noela, they call him in France, where she's from, would bring them the toys, you know, or gift or candies and whatever. So one Christmas, when she was already like 14, they came back from mass, and she said goodnight to her dad and to her older sister. And at that moment, she walks away from the room. Then she starts coming back because she forgot something. And she overhears her dad telling her sister, like, I hope this is the last year because she's getting a bit old for this, for her to continue to acting like this. She's like not maturing properly. And I hope this is the last year that she's expecting this. You know, she's already 14, which, of course, was a normal comment from on behalf of her dad. And all of a sudden, St. Thérèse hears that. And then the dad and the sister realize that she heard that. And at that moment, they all expect the tears, Christmas is ruined, and this is not going to end well. This is terrible. But instead, and that's why she calls it her Christmas miracle, at that moment, St. Thérèse was flooded with this fortitude and with this healing that she actually found it funny. And she actually realized that at that moment, from that day on, she was healed from her hypersensitivity. And as a matter of fact, became so bold and strong that she actually went to the Pope to ask for a dispensation to become a sister at 15. And she became the St. Thérèse that we know and love because she let her interior to be healed by God. It didn't bring her mom back. I'm sure that she suffered that the rest of her life, but the consequences of were healed by God because she hoped that something would happen so that she can go on with her life as God had planned. And that is what we all want. Of course, then, we hope for heaven. We hope good things happen when in our lives, especially for those that need it the most. But we also let's not forget to hope that whatever is happening, that our mind, our heart, our soul, our outlook of life is healed in such a way that we are basically filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can see everything according to God's plan, and to remember and to live with the hope and the joy that we were created to live happily ever after. And that's not something we see in not something for fairy tales. We are all created to live happily ever after in heaven. And whatever is happening here on earth, with God's help, we will continue to go through it. And then one day, all of the tears and the sadness and the problems of this world will go away, including perhaps the worst, with the suffering of death, when we reunite with all of our loved ones in the place of joy that God has prepared for us. So let us be filled with hope. It's what we are invited to do by our Lord, and what greater thing can we have than to hope that everything that Jesus Christ told us and promised us is going to happen. If we really believed in that, everything would change, even if nothing changes outside us. God bless you. And now let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us ask our Heavenly Father with hope to help us with all of our needs.
For Pope Leo XIV, for our shepherd Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a greater respect for the sanctity of human life, from conception to natural death, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Christians suffering persecution for their faith will remain faithful to Jesus and that they will receive support from fellow believers, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us the message of the gospel, which is the message of hope in you. We ask you to always help us to live in hope and to trust you in all things and to help us with all of our needs, which we present to you each day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please join in singing our offertory hymn, which can also be found in the blue St. Michael's hymnal. Hymn number 418, 418, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Cheerful.
pray, brothers and sisters, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. Be pleased, O Lord, to accept the offerings of your church, for in your mercy you have given them to be offered, and by your power you transform them into the mystery of our salvation, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For when your children were scattered afar by sin, through the blood of your Son and the power of the Spirit, you gathered them again to yourself, that a people formed as one by the unity of the Trinity, may the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit might, to the praise of your manifold wisdom, be manifest as the church. And so, in company with the choirs of angels, we praise you, and with joy we proclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, Saint Patrick, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, which can also be found in the blue St. Michael's hymnal. Hymn number 426, 426. Alleluia, sing to Jesus.
Stay. Alleluia.
second communion hymn is also in the St. Michael's Hymnal, hymn number 528, 528, Gift of Finest Wheat.
May the communion in your sacrament that we have consumed save us, O Lord, and conform us in the light of your truth through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Mass has ended. Let us go in peace. And have a blessed week, everyone.
Please join in singing our recessional hymn, which is also in the blue St. Michael's hymnal. Hymn number 520, 520, Faith of Our Fathers.